Sunday night next week, missionary Don Woodward of Light of Haiti Ministries will be with us. Brother Woodward is right now in Haiti, and when I spoke to him earlier in the week, he asked if you would pray for him. As you know, Haiti is almost at a state of civil war. It's very, very dangerous. You know, some missionaries died there this past year. So pray for him and his assistant as they are in Haiti right now. But he'll be coming back to the mainland here and be with us on Sunday night. So I really encourage you to be here next Sunday evening at 5 o'clock for that. Also, again, of course, this is Mother's Day. And as Paul mentioned, as a way of ministry to your moms, we ask that you would just focus on her all day. And I'm very sincere about this. We did this last year. We'll probably continue to do this. It's a time for you not just to take her out to eat afterwards or have dinner with her after the service and then head up to Pittsburgh so you watch the Pirates play. Spend time with your wife, sir. Children, spend time with your mom. Make it a special day for her. There will be a Mother's Day gift for each lady. I'm sure when you walked into the foyer, you could smell the gift. Some beautiful flowers there of your choice, ladies. And really, there's enough, even if you're not a mom, for any of the ladies here, you're welcome to take one of those as a special gift. Now, you notice here on both instruments, we have special gardening boxes. And these are special gifts. Now, over the years, we've recognized the oldest mom, the newest mom, the mom with the most children. And it's like, you know, after all these years, that kind of gets repetitious. So we're going to do something a little bit differently. We're going to play bingo afterwards. And no, I'm not bingo. But we are going to have a drawing. And we're just going to draw two names out of a bucket here. And those two names, you will have opportunity to have these gifts. You say, well, I'm not into gardening. You can take these on eBay and probably make, you know, 40 or 50 bucks off these. So anyway, you can use it either way, even if you don't garden. So the very nice gifts. And just thank my wife for getting all of this ready yesterday. We were here about 11 o'clock last night. She worked all day, came home, did all that. So grateful to her for that. So again, if you would be in prayer for the men as we head down to North Carolina, that we just be a blessing. Of course, you know the devastation that took place there in North Carolina. There'll be years in recovery. What we do will be minimal and compared to the damage that those folks have endured. One church, so we're helping a particular church called Pleasant Grove Baptist Church, Pastor Mike Reeves. A sister church of theirs just right down the road, they lost 13 of their members in the flooding. Brother Reeves' personal secretary there at the church was killed in the flooding. So these people's lives have been forever changed. And so whatever way we can be just a little bit of a blessing to them and helping them, we want to be. So would you pray that we will be a blessing? And one of the main things we're doing this week is helping a man who attends their church but probably is not born again. Just pray that we maintain a good testimony and that we show Christ to that individual, if you would. So just be in prayer for us. Well, again, as Paul said, just want to wish every mom here just a wonderful Mother's Day and trust it will be a blessed day for you. Let's have a word of prayer and then we'll get right into the word today. Father, I thank you again for the occasion of the Lord's Day, your day. May we honor you right now. And even when we walk out of this building, may we honor you in the things that we do. I do ask that you make it a special day for each mom here. Maybe she will be with her children. Maybe she will not have that opportunity today. But whatever the case, I just ask that you would just give her a blessed day. Father, I would ask that you would speak through me today. Holy Spirit, I do want you to use me. I believe you have given me this. And I ask it would be for your glory and for the benefit of each woman here, be they a mom or not. Lord, even we men, that we would listen and through it learn. Lord, we'll thank you for it. Thank you for those who are having their babies dedicated this morning. Pray, God, that you would work in their lives as parents to raise their children in the nurture and admonition of you. We ask now that you bless all that's going on We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Scripture is filled with the names of famous women. In fact, as I just sat down, I began to write down names of women in the scriptures that I know, and the list is actually long. Of course, it begins with Eve, maybe in some ways the most famous of all women, because she is considered by God the mother of what? All living, the mother of all living. And it was through Eve that the promised seed began. God made that promise to Eve, though she had failed. And she had sinned against God, and Adam had sinned against God. There was a promise given to Eve that the promised seed would come through her, and it has. Of course, there's Sarah, the wife of Abraham, and Rebecca, and Rachel, and Naomi, and Ruth, and my favorite, Deborah. That's my wife's namesake, if you will. Abigail, Jochebed, Miriam, Elizabeth. In the New Testament, you have people like Martha and Mary and Salome, the mother of James and John. You have in the Old Testament, Esther. In the New Testament, Lydia and Tabitha. And the one that probably gets more accolades on Mother's Day than maybe any other woman, and that is Hannah. Many of these, if not all, were moms. All those I listed. When we come to the occasion of Mother's Day, we'll hear names mentioned like Hannah or Mary. After the pastors prayed on Friday, we just stood around for a couple minutes before we went our separate ways. And I shared with the men what the Lord showed me a couple of weeks ago here in the book of Judges. And Pastor Maddox over at Bible Baptist, he said, I'm preaching on Hannah. And I thought, you know, that's a go-to passage of Scripture there in 1 Samuel that we often, I've done it a number of times, preaching on Hannah on Mother's Day. We know that Hannah and Mary were women that gained fame because of miraculous conceptions. The Bible says that Hannah was barren, and she was mocked by her competitor, if you will. But God finally answered her request and allowed her to conceive, and she bore that famous son, the prophet Samuel. We know about the teenage girl, a virgin, given a child by the Holy Ghost, and that child being our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I said this to the ladies in our New Beginnings class, and I'll say it to our ladies here. We have wonderful moms that are in this auditorium this morning. You have wonderful kids. And I say that from means of observation. As your pastor is not perfect, I understand that you are not perfect. And your children are not perfect. But I watch. I am an observer of people. And whether it's a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or a Wednesday or whenever we have opportunities to get together, even if I'm over in that building watching through my window, I watch people. It might sound weird. I don't do with field glasses. And I had one of my grandmothers that did that. She'd spy on the neighbors. Well, that's another story for another time. But I watch, and I see how happy our kids are. You ever stop and think about that? See how happy our children are? Always with smiles, always running and laughing. And I know, you know, be respectful of God's house. Don't run the auditorium. And I get that. I appreciate that. But just watching them play outside, play over in the Family Life Center, if you're not in a decent home, you're not happy. Your world's not happy. So I watch these children, and I watch the interaction of husbands and wives here, and I realize that not everything's perfect, but boy, I can say this in all sincerity. I'm not trying to pander to you. But I'm grateful for the moms in this church. I'm grateful for the families in this church and what I see of moms and dads pouring into their children. And I appreciate it. You know, the likelihood of you being famous like Mary or famous like Hannah is probably slim to none. That's the reality. This morning, as we look at the thought of motherhood, I want you to consider a mom of which I do not know her name. I do not know who this woman is. The truth is, she did have a famous son, but her name is not known. The reality is, women like Mary and Sarah and Hannah are memorialized, and rightfully so. We memorialize those women, and should. But this woman we'll look at this morning is unknown. I want you to look at Judges chapter 13. I'm going to begin to read in verse 2. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman, and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told he me his name. But he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and thou drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man which thou didst send come again unto us, and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, Behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, Art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine, nor strong drink, nor any eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we have made ready a kid for thee. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, What is thy name, that we, when thy saying has come to pass, we may do thee honor? And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it a secret? So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering, and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass, when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on it, and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto his wife, We shall surely die, because we have seen God. But his wife said unto him, If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would as at this time have told us such things as these. And the woman bare a son, and called his name Samuel. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. You notice in this chapter, seven times this woman is referred to as that, the woman. In chapter 3, or verse 3, verse 6, verse 9, the 10th verse, the 11th verse, the 13th verse, and then the 24th verse. These seven times, her name is never given. Her husband's name is known. Of course, we know of her famous son, but she is never known. Listen, ladies, would that be okay with you? To be basically obscure to the world, but known to God. Of course, I don't think any woman becomes a mom to be famous, to gain notoriety. But this woman would live a life, if you will, in obscurity. And the goal is not fame. The goal is not to be popular. The goal is to please the Lord. That should be the goal of your life. If we're honest about it, and if I'm honest, I think I can say this. I watched my wife for all the years that our children were in our home, and just observing my sisters, and of course many of you, the work of motherhood goes unnoticed and unappreciated. Is that not true? Until you make a mistake. And then people begin to notice. But when you're kids are well behaved, your kids are doing right, no one really notices, no one really thinks about it, and there's not much appreciation. Is it somewhat of a shame that we only have one day to honor moms? By the way, of course, we know that all began here in our area in Grafton with Anna Jarvis. I found this out this week. I did not know this. Anna Jarvis was arrested. How many knew that? She'd been arrested. She had gone to Philadelphia after Mother's Day had been made an official holiday of the United States, and she was there, and she saw in a candy shop all these candy items and gifts for Mother's Day, and she was so upset that it had been commercialized, she went in and she just created a stir. Now, I'm sure she didn't go in there and destroy things, but back in those days, she just created a stir, so they arrested her. Anna Jarvis. I thought that was interesting. So that's an interesting fact that you can share with your friends anyway. Unappreciated and unnoticed. Is that okay with you? Is that okay with you? Do you always get the honor you deserve? Probably not. But for whom do we do what we do? Hopefully we do what we do to honor the Lord. So today we're honoring the unknown woman who honored her Lord. And you may be an unknown woman who's honoring your Lord through the way that you minister to your children. There's some things I want to point out to you that I think is of the Lord this morning that I trust will be a help, an encouragement, and maybe a little bit of conviction if need be. The first is this. Be a woman in tune to hear the Lord. Be a woman, a mother in tune to hear the Lord. Notice back in verse 3. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Notice those words. And said unto her. Can I ask you this question this morning, ladies? Are you listening for the Lord to speak to you? In the days of this woman, there was no written scripture. Whatever scripture was written, maybe the books of Moses were not easily accessible. So the chance that this woman had a copy of the laws of Moses, the five books of Moses, were probably very minimal. So she needed to constantly be listening for the voice of the Lord. Let me say this to you. His voice is still and small. There's a famous account of the prophet Elijah after his great victory over Jezebel and the priest of Baal. And we know the story, so there's no point recapping it. But when he got this great victory, he had spent himself physically, he had spent himself emotionally, he had spent himself spiritually. And some of you have been there, you know what that means. And you open yourself up to a time of discouragement and even depression. And it's very obvious in the account of Elijah that he was at that point. God did not upbraid him. God took him aside and let him rest. He was physically drained. God just let him sleep a long time and then just wake up, eat, re-nourish yourself, go back to sleep. But eventually God took him to a very secluded place, put him in a cleft of the rock. And in that cave, God began to deal with Elijah. You don't have to turn there, but when you listen to these words out of 1 Kings chapter 19, the last part of verse 11 and verse 12. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. Sometimes we are looking for the big and the bold, the flashy. We want lightning from heaven. We want God to, you know, do something big. And you're thinking the wrong way. And I'm thinking the wrong way when I think those ways. How does God speak to us? Through the still, small voice. I can't help but think of the psalmist who said, "Be still and know that I am God." God tells you and me, I want you to be still so you can hear me and know that I am God. So I ask you, are you listening for the Lord to speak to you? Ladies, are you listening for the Lord to speak to you? His voice is heard in His word. The psalmist said this, the 119th Psalm, beginning in the 103rd verse, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way." You want to know how to live your life and not go the false way? There it is, ladies. Right there. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." You know, there's not noise and light. Just clarity so you have the right direction. The still, small voice. I think of Jeremiah 15:16. "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." Ladies, I know your schedules are busy. Many of you have careers. Many of you have to work outside the home. And you still have the responsibility of motherhood. You still have responsibilities to your spouse. You have all these responsibilities. But here is the thing. As Jesus said to Martha, Mary hath chosen that best part, and it will not be taken away from her. What was Mary doing? Sitting at the feet of Jesus and just listening. You've got to be in this book. You've got to hear the still, small voice of God. Turning on, you know, religious TV and listening to some preacher, that's not going to get it. I listen to podcasts. There are several preachers now that I listen to, and that's great. You need time alone with your Savior. Not with, you know, whatever favorite evangelist you like listening to on the radio or on your podcast. It's not that. It's spending time alone with your Savior. Be a woman in tune to hear the Lord. In the midst of all your busyness, find a way. Find a way to get alone with the Lord. I know it's not easy. Life, listen to me, contrary to our culture, life was never intended to be easy. You live in a sin-cursed world, in a sin-cursed body. It's not intended to be easy. It is given to us the way it is so that we have a need of Him. You better be thankful for the trials that come into your life that hopefully are driving you to listen to Him. Because when things got real easy for the Israelites, they turned from God. And that's all of our tendencies. We need burdens. We need trials because we need Him. Second thing I want you to notice with this woman, Look at verses 13 and 14. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. Ladies, be a woman in tune to hear the Lord, but also be a woman willing to be obedient to God's commands. What good does it do you to hear the Lord if you're not going to obey Him? Well, I can say that to every man, including myself in this room today. What good does it do to sit here and hear preaching or open our Bibles if we're not going to obey what He says? Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? His commands are not optional, ladies. His commands are not optional. And this, I think, is important. His commands are not burdensome. Are you obeying the things that God has commanded you? A lot of times people don't do what they're commanded because they act as though what God is asking them to do is a big, heavy burden. Oh, I got to do this. I got to do that. And listen, there are a lot of do's in the Christian life. Let's just be honest about it, folks. Let's be honest. There are a lot of do's in the Christian life. But His commands are not burdensome. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. Now listen to this. And His commandments are not grievous. What does the word grievous mean? It means burdensome. They're not burdensome. What did Jesus say in the book of Matthew chapter 11? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is what? Easy. And my burden is light. But by the way we act sometimes, we act like it's a pain to have to serve our Lord. Maybe that speaks more about where our heart condition is than what He's asking us to do. Ladies, be a woman in tune to hear the Lord, but also be a woman willing to be obedient to God's commands. Remember what He said. All that I commanded her, let her observe. Observe what I'm telling you to do. There's a third thing I want you to notice here in this passage. Look at verse 23. Verse 23. But his wife said unto him, if the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received the burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would as at this time have told us such things as these. And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And called his name Samson. Be a woman in tune to hear the Lord. Be a woman willing to be obedient to God's commands. But as God begins to speak to you through this book, be a woman filled with faith. A woman filled with faith. Think about this. The barren woman bore a child. When we hear the detailed accounts about people like Hannah, you see their faith. We saw Abraham and Sarah's faith. They're ranked in the hall of fame of God in Hebrews chapter 11. This woman was a woman of faith, and those verses prove it. They show it. They show an attitude of faith. So I ask you this, ladies, look at me. Are you growing in faith? Are you growing in faith? A woman in tune to hear the Lord, willing to obey His commands. And listen to me, God's going to ask some of you women to do some things you're not comfortable with. He is going to ask you to do some things that you do not understand. And you don't need to understand. You just need to trust your God and walk by faith. Think about the example of Abraham. God says to him, after living in Ur of the Chaldees for the first 75 years of his life. I want you to get up and leave. Where am I going? I'm not telling you. Just go. Well, how do I know when I get to where you want me to go? I'll tell you. Why aren't you going to tell me the name? No, just go. That doesn't make sense. You know what I found out in my Christian life? Most of the things that happen don't make sense. It's a matter of the faith game. I'm just going to believe God. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for what? Righteousness. You want to be right with God? Just believe him. Ladies, be a woman filled with faith. So I ask you this question this morning. Are you growing in faith? Faith comes by seeking it. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's interesting, you know, we've been going through the book of Revelation, and we're not done with it. I just, so many other things have been kind of interrupting. We'll be back in it hopefully soon. But remember that key verse that we've looked at several times, Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, in which he says this, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy." It's more than just taking your 10-minute or 15-minute block in the morning or evening or after you lay the kids down for their nap to pick up your Bible and read or go through your special devotional book, which I'm all in favor of. I'm fine with those things. But to really hear. I have been encouraged and convicted for the last 2 or 3 months hearing from family and then from other ministers the importance of not just reading this book but actually hearing God speak. Why is it sometimes we don't understand this? Because we're really not listening. We're really not listening. Faith cometh by hearing. And what is the attitude of hearing? It means seeking to understand what God is saying as I read this book with an attitude of having an obedience toward it. You remember the hymn that we sing quite a bit here? More about Jesus would I know. And in that particular song, there's this phrase talking about the Bible. It says, hearing his voice in every line. Every line of Scripture. Hearing his voice in every line. When you pick up this book, do you ask him to speak to you? Sometimes I'll quote the verse out of Psalms, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Or just simply say, Lord, teach me today. Too many times we just pick up this Bible, we just read it to fulfill a quota. We don't really read to hear. Listen, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You're not going to get it outside this book. I'm grateful you're here. But the greatest source of learning you're going to have is your daily time alone with the Lord. So again, are you growing in faith? Faith by the word comes by reason of use. Now, I'll share this passage with you in Hebrews chapter 5, the 13th and 14th verse. It says this, "For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness." In other words, the word of God. He said, if you're using milk, you're unskillful. For he is a babe, and that's what he says. That's, you know what? You remember when you were growing up, did it not anger you if you had someone say, yeah, you're just a baby? That was angering. You know, if you're a nine-year-old kid and somebody, one of your so-called friends calls you a baby, that upsets you. You know what God just said? You're a baby. You're not trying to learn from this book. God sometimes just speaks really bluntly. It's not always the most encouraging words. He said, you're a babe, you're a baby. You need to use this book. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of a full age, mature, in other words. Even those who by reason of use, having their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Reason of use. How much of this book are we applying to our daily life? So here you find a woman that did not have access to the written word, but she listened to the spoken word, and she heard. And she heard. And she came to this conclusion, I accept what you say. What she did not know, and what Manoah did not know, is that that angel of the Lord was actually a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. And they found out. That's why Manoah cried out and said, we have seen God. Remember what Jesus said to Philip? Philip, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. That day they saw Jesus Christ. They saw God. God wants to speak to you and me. We've got to be listening. So again, ladies, I ask you this. Are you in tune to hear the Lord? Are you willing to be obedient to God's commands? Are you a woman that through your time with Him in this book, you're being filled with faith, growing in faith? Here's the good news. Every day's a new day. Every day's a new start in life. And if that's not been your practice, it can start on this Mother's Day, May 11th, 2025. It can begin today. There's a couple other things I want you to notice here before we close. The desire of mothers is their children. I think we all understand that. Not just to bear a child, although I know many women have that desire, that motherly instinct to be able to carry their own child and bring it forth in the world. Now, that's a good desire. But it's not just bearing a child. It's loving the child, caring for the child, training the child, and pouring your life and the life of Jesus Christ into your child. Don't wait to do these things for your child. You say, what do you mean by that? Look at verse 5. This is interesting to me. This is interesting. Back in verse 5. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child, and listen to this, shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. When did this woman, whoever her name was, begin to pour into her son the things of God? While she was carrying the child, before the child's birth. She didn't say, well, when he reaches the age of accountability. Well, what's that? No one knows. It's different for everybody. When I think they have a little more understanding, I found this out the hard way. Children know a whole lot more than you think they know. They know a whole lot more than you think they know. And I'm talking about 2-year-olds and 3-year-olds and 4-year-olds. God said to this woman, you begin to pour into your son now. But he's not born yet. You're carrying him, aren't you? Begin to pour into him now. I have a relative that would speak to his child. The father would speak to the child in the mother's womb. And they said this, that when the child was born, the child was drawn more to the father than to the mother because the father constantly spoke to the child. Now, what does that mean? Whether you accept that or not, doesn't really matter. The point is, God wants you to begin to minister to your child, not wait till somewhere down the road. It's kind of like sometimes the attitude of people, when I get a little bit older, I'll start serving God. No, you won't. If you don't serve Him now, you'll never serve Him. You won't serve Him. If that's your attitude, you'll never serve Him. So teenagers, listen to me. You better start serving God now. You better decide to give your life over to serve Jesus Christ now. There's no time to waste because this is serious business. This is serious business. Last thing I want to share with you, and it's kind of a somber way to end this, and yet, there's an encouragement in this too. There are no guarantees that your heart will not be broken by your child. There's no guarantees. From everything we observe about this woman, this mother, and her husband, everything we observe in chapter 13 and 14 and 15, They obeyed. They did exactly what God told them to do with their famous son, Samson. But notice chapter 14, verses 2 and 3. And he came up and told his father and his mother, this is Samson speaking to his mom and dad, and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath, the daughter of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. We do understand the truth of what Paul taught the Corinthian church. Be not unequally yoked together after the manner of some is. Do not be unequally yoked. Meaning, if you are single in this room, you have no right, and you disobey God by dating someone who's lost. That's just the reality. Well, Pastor, I know someone who dated a lost person, and that person got gloriously saved. Yeah, you know what? About 20% of the time that happens because of God's mercy, not because of your obedience. I was in an ordination on Wednesday. A young man that I've come to know over the last few years as I've taught him in the Bible college, a great young man. Well, I found out something about him. He met his wife, and he was not saved, and she was. And she dated him, and God gloriously saved him. You say, well, there it is, Pastor. There it is. That man's in the full-time ministry now. He is. And he loves the Lord. He's going to do great things in this area. But I think God means what he says, don't you? I mean, if you're a young person here, you're single, don't you think God means what he says? You think you know more than God? You think it's okay to defy God's word? Because I'll tell you this, for every young person who has dated someone who's lost, 80% of the time it ends in heartache. I can share that example, and I can share others' examples of you people's lives have been destroyed because they disobeyed God. Obey him. Obey him. So here is this woman, unknown mother. Her heart is broken by her son who has a Nazirite vow. And in some ways, she took the Nazirite vow with him. She had to do everything a Nazirite had to do. She lived the example to her son. And then he threw it back in her face in years to come. I think of this verse, Proverbs 17:25. A foolish son is a grief to his father. Now listen to this, ladies. And bitterness to her that bare him. There is no guarantee that your child will go right. Now listen, I'm saying this because we know this woman did what was right in God's eyes. She obeyed God's command to raise a son who would give himself. Listen, Samson ends up in the Hall of Fame, in God's Hall of Fame. God used him. But brother, how much more could he have been used had he not gone into rebellion, gone into sin? Maybe his life would have been extended and Israel's judge would have given them maybe decades more of peace. But he chose to go his own way. He lost his eyesight. He was put into captivity. And he died a horrible death. And mom had to watch it. And mom had to observe it. But it wasn't mom's fault. Samson made his decision. Moms, listen to me. You may have a child who's rebelled. They make their own decisions. Don't allow what may have happened to pull you down and cause you to step away from the Lord. You maintain an integrity with the Lord. And remember this, there are no guarantees that your heart will not be broken. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 2 is one of the most telling verses in all the Bible. For the Lord hath spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. That is God himself speaking. He said, I have raised children. And brother, if there is ever a parent that did everything right, it is Almighty God. Would you not agree with that? Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
You said, my children have rebelled. So a rebellious child is not a sign necessarily of failure as a parent. So don't let Satan pull that over your eyes. Don't let Satan pull that over your eyes and hurt you. But if you want the best chance to see your, as Jerry Falwell used to say about the students at Liberty University, be a champion for Christ. We're trying to raise champions for Christ. I like that slogan. And I'm sure every mom here wants your child to be a champion for Christ. Do you not? Well, what's the greatest avenue to seeing your children become champions for Christ? Be a woman in tune to hear the Lord. Be a woman willing to be obedient to God's commands. And be a woman who begins to grow in faith, filled with faith. And if you will take that path, then your chances of success are far greater than those who just flippantly walk through life and do not keep their focus on the Lord as they should. I hope what I've said will be a challenge. I hope what has been preached here this morning will be to some of you an encouragement. But take what you've heard from this book, not from your pastor, from this book, and make it applicable to your life today. Let's bow our heads for prayer. With our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Obviously, I've focused on our moms today. Focused on them and preached directly to them. But really, those principles can be applied to any Christian here today. We need to be in tune to hear the Lord. We need to be willing, when we hear from Him, to obey His commands. We need to be willing to begin to let the Word of God grow us in faith. So whether you're a mom, a single woman, or a man in this room, I trust you'll consider what the Holy Spirit has taught us today. Maybe there's someone here today that you don't know Jesus as your own Savior. The Bible is very plain. Jesus said, except ye believe in me, ye shall perish. He said, you will die in your sin. But Jesus did not come to condemn you. He came to give you eternal life. And He tells us plainly in His Word that if you'll trust Him, believe Him, put your faith in Him, recognize your need to have your sin dealt with, and they have been already on the cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ can cleanse you from sin. He can make you His child. And if that has never been the case in your life before you walk out of this building, you can settle that. If you want to talk to someone about it, we'll gladly have someone take you aside privately and speak to you about that matter. And whatever your need is this morning, the Lord will meet your need. Mom, dad, doesn't matter. If the Lord has spoken to you today, would you just be obedient to Him this morning? We'll have a moment of invitation. If you need to come to this altar, I encourage you to be obedient. If you want to make an altar where you sit, go before the Lord if He has dealt with you. Let's just stand quietly. I'll pray, and then if you need to come, you come. Father, you use this time of invitation. Your glory in Jesus' name. appreciate you being here this morning. Just we're going to take a few moments right before we're dismissed. We're going to do a couple special things here. I think we're still waiting for some of the infants to come in. So while they're waiting, why don't we do this? I'm going to have you be seated. And I mentioned to you that we're going to do a drawing for these two gift baskets. And if we happen to draw a name in which that person is not here, then we'll move on to the next person. Boy, this should be exciting. So I'm going to have my wife come up here, and we're just going to draw two names at random. Men, I'm sorry, but your names have not been submitted this morning, so you don't get this. This is not rigged. Drum roll, please. Carrie Smith. Yay. Carrie Smith. All right, so that's one. All right, and then one more. She's not here. So. Trying to be fair here. Pastor Vaughn. No, I'm sorry. All right, I don't see her here either. We're still trying. This could take us all day. That's why we're not having an evening service. We're going to be here till about 4 o'clock. Abigail Milnes. It was rigged. No, I just teased it. All right, so for Carrie and Abigail, you guys have your choice of the baskets here afterwards. And don't use it all at one time. So. All right, this time we're going to have our parents and their children come up here to the front. So, yes, Billy, you can come on down. Michael, come on down. Before we do this, for a number of years, I never considered baby dedication. It's not an ordinance of the church. She is very friendly. It's not an ordinance of the church, but I've had moms and dads ask me to do this, and I have made the decision to do these things and gladly do it. And the basis of it is found from 1 Samuel, and it says this. Would you like to read this? You can read this if you like. It says in 1 Samuel 1:11, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. Really, this dedication time is not so much about Ivy or Theo or Jude, it's about their parents, about them dedicating themselves and saying, God, we want to give our child to you. We want to raise him in the nurture and admonition of the Lord to serve you. This has nothing to do with their salvation. This won't help get them saved. It's not like, you know, some churches teach washing away original sin through infant baptism, things like, it's nothing like that. It is just these people saying, we want to commit our child to the Lord. And it's not just something privately. We're willing to say it in front of our church family. This is what we're willing to do. And I believe that's the attitude of each of these couples here. And so we're going to begin by giving these children a special Bible. So this is Ivy Mae Visman's. Of course, you know Michael and Sarah, their parents. And so glad to have you folks in the church. So glad to have Ivy and... Sometimes she actually does smile at me. Not a whole lot, but sometimes. And then this is Abigail and Billy Milnes and their son Theodore William Milnes. And this is, of course, Justin and Jessica. That's Deacon, that's Emerson, that's Isla. And this is Jude Michael And we're very glad to have these folks here. So at this time, we're just all going to bow together and pray for these couples as they raise their children, that they would honestly and truthfully raise them for the Lord's sake. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for each of these couples. I just pray for Michael and Sarah that you give them wisdom in raising Ivy as well as their sons, that Ivy would come to know you as her Lord and Savior at a very early age. Lord, use them to influence her for you. They can't save her, but they can certainly pave the way for her to know who you are. And I pray through their lives they would see how good you are. Lord, for Billy and Abigail as they raise Theo, would you also just give them your wisdom to be able to raise this little boy as well as their other children, to have a fear of you and a love for you, and that you would bring Theo to a knowledge of Jesus Christ very early in life. And then, Lord, for Jude, Lord, just give Justin and Jessica wisdom with him. Lord, I just ask for not only Jude, but all their children, that they would learn to love you and fear you and serve you. So for they and each of these couples, Lord, please give them your wisdom and give them your strength. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you will do. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can give them a hand if you like. Now, this is the last thing we're going to do this morning. I'm going to have the couple sit down here in the front. And this is kind of for your entertainment, so to speak. There's a 2-minute and 40-second video I want you to see. I'm going to pray first. I'm going to make my way to the back. We'll watch the video, and after that, you are dismissed. Again, to our visitors, thank you for being here this morning. Let's pray. Father, I thank you again for this day. We trust that you've been honored with it, and ask, Lord, that you would just help us to be good testimonies throughout this day, throughout this week, sharing Christ with others. Lord, we'll thank you for all that's done. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
And now, a Mother's Day moment.
You know, Mother's Day is that special day every year where we celebrate the women who brought us into the world.
Honey, it actually took 12 hours with you.
Well, that's right, that's right. My mom was in labor for 12 hours. Thank you, Mom, for reminding me. This is the day that we appreciate.